Okay, this talk is about building kernel packages and kernel modules in the build service. And it's a very quick one, so let me show you how we think that you can easily build kernels in the build service. So first I will tell you something about how our packages, the kernel packages, how many packages are there and how the basic layout is. And then I will show you how to build out of tree modules in the build service, so build a kernel module package. And then how you can use your own patches on top of the kernel of the day or the distro kernel, so an already released product kernel, so like additional patches for 10.1 or 10.2. Okay, the kernel packages, we have different flavors on different architectures altogether. We have 14 different packages, 11 of them are flavor packages, and not everyone is available on all the architectures, and of course like SV90 or iSeries and PPC64, these are special kernel packages. But the things like default, debug, and vanilla are available on all architectures. And then there's the common source code package. It's called kernel source, and a package with all the symbols of the different flavors, which is needed for building KNPs. The common source code package is not non-architecture specific, because there's the non-architecture specific part is the source code itself, but we also prepare things like the old configure and the prepared scripts are also packaged in the kernel source, because they are only necessary for building modules for your kernel that you have installed, or if you want to build KNPs. And the symbol package, this is necessary because you cannot install multiple flavors on the same system. At least not all the flavors are sometimes available, so you have to use the symbol kernel package to build a KNP with all the symbol information for all available flavors that you can get. Yeah. Firm with how this kernel source packages look like on SUSE? I don't expect that too many people are. So, if you. Show you the kernel source package. This is hard to type if you can't see anything. The common source code is in this directory, and all the prepared spec files are in the object directory. And there you can see. It's only for one architecture, but for all the different flavors in it. All the include configure files and etc. So we don't have separate packages like Debian has, like the kernel header packages and a separate kernel source package. So this is all rolled into one. But now together, all the packages are building from one basic source. So we have a collection of spec files. They are generated from what we maintain in the ZBS. And all the binary packages don't build source.rpm. They all build no source.rpm. And the source package itself, so kernel source, is generating a proper source RPM. And yeah, the basic layout of this is there's a separate, the original tarball that is released on kernel org, and then we have the patches arches and some different other files like the series file. The people that use Quilt maybe knew how this is constructed. It's looking very similar to it, maybe because of Andreas Grubacher. It's also one of the guys who invented or who influenced how this build process. And then we have the configuration archive where all the configuration, the kernel configure files for the different architectures and the different layers are stored in. And yeah, tons of scripts that help us in the build process, so that are called either directly or indirectly from the spec file or from installation, so the post files are also available there. And then yeah, this kernel ABI stuff that we need only for the enterprise products, but this is also available there. I can also share this looks like. So this looks something similar to this. So you have all the spec files and all the changes files. This is all of this is generated from scripts. From the ZBS, and then all the patches in separate files and separate directories, like the patches for drivers, fixes, and everything. And upstream patches, when we also track with the head kernel, we also track the release candidates of the upstream kernel. So we use the official release tarball and then patch the new patches on it. Yeah, this is the end. So in the OpenSUSE build service, at the moment there are four branches available. I only track the branches that are at least interesting for the OpenSUSE project. So I don't think that it makes any sense to track all the enterprise Linux version kernels, because I don't think that any one of you is running an S390 and wants to invalidate his contract with us by building custom kernels. So this is only the factory kernel, the 10.2 kernel of the day, and the 10.1 kernel of the day that is available at the moment. And so since we branched away for the enterprise version from 10.1, this is the same branch, and they both share the 10.1, the /10 release. And then the fourth one is kernel vanilla. It's a vanilla kernel, directly from the Git repository. So all the tagged versions, so all the release candidates are synced automatically with some scripts every night at 3. So the build service and are built with our head build system. So all the scripts are coming from the head CVS tree, but no patches are included here, no SUSE patches, but this is really the raw stuff. And you can use it also to build modules, because our kernel vanilla flavor that we have in the distributions in the other branches is not usable for building out of tree kernel modules, because you don't have the proper sources for it. So so it's synced and then it's building. And it works quite fine since a few weeks. So, and this is how the kernel packages are are done in the build service. As you maybe all know, you have already worked with the build service. Normally you build the package, or the open source build service chooses the spec file which matches the package name that it's building for. And additionally, it supports linking to other packages. And since our source code for the kernel is all in one directory in our auto build system, I choose to combine this and also put everything into one package. It's called kernel source, and all the flavor packages are just links to the same sources. So if the build service is building for a kernel package which links to the kernel source package, then it chooses automatically it's the proper name. So kernel here, it's the metadata information. You can use it either with UC metadata or directly with the interface, and then link your kernel default to the same package. So I don't know if I can show it. And, it seems to be a little bit slow because of the iChain stuff. So here you can see all the different packages, and only the kernel source package has all the sources available, all the sources, and kernel default. You can see there's only the link file, and it says it's linking to kernel head, kernel source. You can do this also for your private projects, but I can show you more later. So there are some problems, or some problems that I had with the build service. The first thing was that the build service uses a release number with Y, but the Y is the build number. So when the rebuild is triggered, this build number increases. But since all the packages that I told you about, the kernel source, the kernel sims, and the kernel flavor packages, they have dependencies to each other by paths like user source, Linux, version number, minus release. So it is not clever to include the build number in that because of different, like the UML kernel, the user mode Linux kernel. It also depends on it has a requirement for xlibs and for pcap, I think. So when pcap is updated, kernel UM is also re-triggered to build to rebuild. So kernel UM has normally a much higher, or in theory has a much higher build number than the rest of the packages. So that would lead to a situation where the kernel source, although it is the correct kernel source for your flavor, it doesn't match. So this is what we do. We just use internally, we always use the source release number and strip away the later part for all the internal paths. The next thing is that through this linking, since the build service only maintains the source release number, per package and not per project. You have the situation that I only update kernel source, so the source release number of kernels of this kernel source package is increasing, but the kernel defaults always stays at version number one because you never change the link. So MNS invented this check and count flag for the metadata, where the source release number is just copied. So if you use this setup with linking between packages, you always have to use the copy. There are also two other flags that you can use for the count, but I don't use them, so I don't even know their names. I don't care. Okay, out of three modules. This is like you can build the KMPs in the build service in exactly the same way like we built the KMPs in the before we didn't have the build service. So this is just a normal K-build makefile. You can find the documentation here. I don't know, we don't have that much time, so I will skip this part. But this is quite easy. You need to require kernel source and kernel sims, and then have to build a proper spec file for this. And this is documented in the KMP guide that Andreas did. And this is the documentation directly in the kernel itself. Okay, this is how you set up spec file. But, the interesting part is to patch one of our kernels. Like you have the situation that you have your favorite patch, but Linus is not taking it upstream, and we don't have it in the distribution. But you want to, is it either because of you developing this patch or do something else different? I don't know. It is not possible to build this patch as a kernel module package because either it's not a module or it interferes with the boot code. So, like when you have a new file system for initrd or something, you cannot load this as a module. So you have to patch the kernel. And there are some examples I can show you, like squashfs is one example. But you still want to keep the rest of the kernel, some kind of maintained, like we do it for the kernel of the day. So you want to track the changes that we have in the kernel of the day, but you don't want to do this everything all by hand. So this is quite easy. You just link the kernel source package to your of the head kernel or of the other branches to your own kernel source package, and then you roll your own patches add on. So patches add on in our branches is always empty. There's no patch inside. And if you provide in a linked project, if you provide additional files, they override the files in the link source, and then you patch the series conf. So this is all that the build service needs to have a new version. And it just in the metadata you can give a patch name, and it is patched as a normal patch would apply. And this is one example of my. My home project. So there are two. You see, there are two packages in my home Yangon kernel project, and the kernel source just looks like that, and patches it on. There is squashfs in it. And this is building a kernel source package with SquashFS added always on top of the latest kernel head that we have internally in our CBS. So you, every day you have a new kernel with your patches, and you don't do anything unless the patch doesn't apply anymore. So then you have to rediff the patch. And yeah, there's one trick. Here you see this. this is a patch where I have set the line number to 10,000, but normally our CVSCon file isn't that long, so we haven't had 10,000 patches at the ever before. So this patch always applies because it doesn't have any context. The context is zero, so it's always appended at the end. And so you only have to be sure that if you unpack our sources and then apply your patch that you want to build, and then it's always applied at the end. So the patch that applies directly on Linux original tarball shouldn't be or shouldn't apply normally without problems on our kernels. So this is one important trick to do this. Yeah, and it's very easy to build on things, and it's even possible to build the kernel source and the kernel images of the SUSE kernel as Debian packages. Although I'm at the moment, I have some problems with the kernel image itself, but I had this idea of taking the spec file and extracting the sections, the prep section, build section, and everything out of it, and then just build up a Debian rules file, which is calling this bash scripts in the right order, and so you have a very easy way to show the Debian people that our kernels are better, hopefully. So, but at the moment I still have a little bit problems because this is I only do it in my spare time and I haven't tested it yet. So,
yeah. It could actually be useful because if we have a patch in our kernel that you want to test somebody who only has a Debian installation, you can say use this Debian package. So it's not just a toy, it's actually useful.
It is especially useful for Xen. Because this is a way how we can build our Xen kernel in a deb file and bring up a Debian host under /10 with our kernel. Because at the moment the Debian kernels crash when you install a Xen guest with a Debian kernel. So at the moment you always have to manually copy the SUSE kernel into your guest image, and this is not very this is not very nice. So I thought I just roll the latest kernel as a deb file, and so you can use DE bootstrap. So bootstrap the whole machine and then just install the SUSE kernel. Yeah, that's basically it, what I wanted to tell you. So any questions? No? Okay. Yeah, if you try this and if you have questions, you can. There are some packages already in the build service where you can learn from. Like there are a lot of KMPs for webcams and different stuff, so you can look at how they did it. And
basically, it's a driver directory. The webcam drivers and stuff like this. There are some KMPs in it, and it's just good to copy it and see how it builds, and it's a good default scheme how to build KMPs.
It's not good to just copy and fix it.
And learn from it.
We just learn from it and then build your own. So.
Okay, so thanks.